Dan, we're inching closer. Two games left to play as Dallas is currently trailing Nashville 2-0. Then you've got Columbus taking on Boston tonight, followed by Arizona and Vegas. And then we get into it. And, you know, I looked up the historical numbers for games five game series. And game one, man, if you win game one, you got basically an 88% chance of winning the series. Like, yeah. It's ridiculously high. And so this weekend, like, I just think the intensity in those eight qualifying games is going to be off the charts.
Well, that's good. You did some homework. You saved me some homework because I was actually going to do that. I was going to see.
Yeah, well, check out my Twitter feed, Dan. It's right there.
I will. Look, yeah, I mean, it's so important. I actually spoke to Scotty Bowman about this earlier this week, did a story on it, just the difference between coaching for, you know, these guys in a five-game series versus a seven-game series. And basically, because Scotty did it about five times with the Buffalo Sabres in the 1980s, and I think his teams went 2-3 in those series, which tells you how difficult it is. Scotty Bowman's teams lost three times. So it's so different. Everything happens so much faster. And that's what, you know, we always put an emphasis on game one. You want to get off to a good start, all that stuff. If you lose game one, guys are still like, okay, we're fine. We figured a few things out. We'll come back. We're good. I wonder about that now if they lose game one here. I think they'll probably say the same things, but internally my guess is there will be a little bit of concern, if not panic, because now you're only two away. It's, as Barry Trotz said, you're playing with one less life. It's like a video game. You're playing with one less life. And that's what this is. So it's going to be very interesting. I think game one becomes so important. Like you said, 88%. It's so crucial to get off to a good start. It doesn't mean you lose the series, but my goodness, if you get down 1-0, all of a sudden, are we going to start seeing some significant changes here and there because of how fast this does go? And they're playing every other day, if not back to back. I mean, it's amazing. Guys can be in this bubble and then boom, out of it by, say, Wednesday or Thursday.
Of all the teams that you're following, obviously you're following them all, but when you look at it, which team do you think that if they lose the first game will automatically go to goalie 1B rather than going back with 1A?
Well, that's a good question. I think a number of them, to be honest with you. I think if, depending on how, let's say if Matt Murray starts for the Penguins, right, and Carey Price outplays him the Canadians pull the upset, or even still, if the Penguins win and Matt Murray doesn't play well, I think Sullivan's going to go right to Tristan Jarry without hesitation, if not vice versa, right? I also wonder about the Rangers. Igor Shesterkin is a rookie goaltender. He's never been on a stage like this in the National Hockey League. Henrik Lundqvist is the veteran. He's handled the Hurricanes this season and in the past. So if Igor Shesterkin gets that start, but the moment seems a little big for him, then they'll go to Henrik in game two. Although I got to tell you, I mean, Igor Shesterkin doesn't seem like any moment's too big for him. Certainly. Yeah, but I think any one of these teams that has a goaltender that you're like, okay, we'll start him, but we're not 100%. I mean, Edmonton is certainly one too. Calgary is one of those teams. Nashville is another one of those teams. The Islanders are another one of those teams. Any one of them, if the goalie doesn't play well in game one, I think you'll see the switch into game two.
Dan Rosen joins us. Dan, in the East, you look, you've got the Rangers in Carolina, and doesn't sound like Hamilton's going to start. We know Pesci's out, and the Rangers were pretty hot coming in. You have Columbus and Toronto had the exact same points percentage. You have the Islanders and Florida. Now, Pittsburgh, Montreal seems to be the one that's kind of lopsided. But those other three series, who do you like and why?
Well, I like Pittsburgh, so that we'll get that one out of the way. In the 6-11 one, the Carolina Rangers series, I like Carolina. I liked them before the Hamilton injury, and I'm less in love with them, but I'm still believing in them simply because their defense, even without Dougie Hamilton, is still strong. Their type of game that they play is very strong. They're a team that has some experience. The Rangers don't have a lot of that. And what I saw from the Rangers yesterday was, and this is what David Quinn talked about, if they're not getting their chances, they do get frustrated because that's the type of team that they are. They can't let it happen. But I like Carolina a little bit there. I liked Florida. I'm still going to stick with Florida. I hope that Sergei Bobrovsky can come around. I didn't like what I saw from him yesterday against the Lightning, but we'll see. But I still believe I'm still going to go with the Panthers in that series against the Islanders, although it's going to be very difficult. So that one I'm a little, you know, hedging on, but that's the one I picked, and I'm going to stick with it. And then, look, I picked Columbus, too, and I think that they can play a type of game against Toronto that will frustrate Toronto. If it becomes a skill game, there's no chance for the Blue Jackets. But if it becomes a will game, I like the Blue Jackets in that one.
What about bringing it out here, Calgary-Winnipeg? Is Calgary not getting enough love? Because it feels like a lot of people are talking hella back on the Jets to break these guys down.
Yeah, and I wasn't in love with what I saw from Calgary either in their exhibition game. Now, Connor was great, and, you know, Leon was great, and, you know, the Oilers were playing well, but I wasn't in love with what I saw from Calgary. I think they've had an interesting, if not, you know, dramatic return to play so far with the news coming out of there. What about Gaudreau, Travis Hamonic not returning? Who's going to start net? You know, so a couple of those things there. And then I think about Winnipeg, and to be honest, I think that they have the offense that they can. If it becomes a game where it's a back and forth game, they're fine in that game. And if it becomes a game where the goalie has to do it, they're fine in that game too. So I like Winnipeg in that series just because they can beat Calgary in a number of different ways, I think.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the Jets, any of the top four teams in the West didn't want the Jets. I think that's the worst matchup for anybody, and it just, you know, it happened to be Calgary. You know, they're the percentage points separating them, but, you know, I would take Arizona. I would take Minnesota. I would take Chicago any day over facing the Jets in the first round.
Yeah, and I don't think any of those teams that are in the top four there, they're going to be in the round robin. I don't think any of those teams want to see Winnipeg coming out of that, you know, because they're going to be coming in with some momentum too. And I think that they are a strong team, and I think they have terrific goaltending. Obviously, they do have terrific goaltending with Connor Hellebuyck, so they're a dangerous team that can go on a run.
And speaking of the seeding tournament, Dan, like Tampa Bay, man, they were the best team in the NHL by quite a ways in the second half. Now, Philly got on a roll a little bit, but Tampa Bay picked right where they left up, crushing Florida in their exhibition game. The West, though, Vegas, Dallas, Colorado, is there one team that you like to come first in that? And then conversely, for Oilers fans, because they assume they're going to win, that they'll face four. So who do you think ends up being at the bottom of the seeding team, and that's who Edmonton would play in the next round?
Yeah, I want to see Vegas tonight before I'd like to see how they come out. Now, they don't have Thatcher Eddie, so that's, you know, significant. But I want to see how they look right away because they were looking great. I think after DeBoer took over, they were 15-5-2 in those 22 games. They were looking terrific. So I want to see them. But I am big on Colorado this season. I like the speed. I like the dynamic game that they have on the back end, obviously with Cale Makar. I think that they have a lot of firepower. Nathan MacKinnon is a driving force. There's no question about it. The goaltending is the question mark because it doesn't have a ton of experience in big games like this, but you got to get it somehow. And I just think the way that Colorado plays, they're not going to make their goalies have to win the game for them as long as the goalies don't lose them. I like the Colorado Avalanche a lot going into this. Are they going to come out and be the number one? I don't know. But as this gets going into the seven-game series, they're going to be a beast to handle in a seven-game series.
What do you like about him? I mean, you mentioned the goaltender, but is it just the, like, personally, I really like their defense. Obviously, they got some forwards, but is there something, like, what part are you liking about them that so much?
Well, I agree with you. I think their defense is underrated, you know?
Well, I think we lost Dan.
Come on, I want to hear about Colorado's defense. I love it. Big fan of that group.
You like their defense?
Oh, man. Girard and Johnson and Cale Makar. Like, they have Ian Cole. Like, there's so much depth. Well, Dan, you tell me.
Yeah, no, I don't know what just happened there. But, I think there's a lot of depth on that back end. They've got a lot of dynamic speed. Girard can move. He can move the puck really well. I mentioned Cale Makar. But then you look at some of the size that they got there, right? I mean, Cole is a big boy. He's 225 pounds, right? Ryan Graves is 6'5", 220 or something in that neighborhood. Eric Johnson's a 6'5", big boy back there. And Nikita Zadorov, too. I mean, they've got a lot of big bodies on the back end that make it very difficult. We talk about McKinnon, we talk about Rantanen, and we talk about Landeskog and how difficult it is for them to play against them, and then you throw in the Kadris and the Burakovskis and these guys. But that back end, underrated, big, strong, fast, slick with the puck too, I like them a lot.
Well, Dan, we look forward to everything beginning on Saturday. Have fun. We'll talk to you again.
All right. You got it. Thanks.